Has a speaker but no earpiece. Has a microphone but no earpiece. You're praying without listening. Paul is listening to the word of God and he delivers it to the people. Prayer does work. Prayer is effective in God's own time. I want to read to you about a man named George Mueller. He was from Bristol, England. And he lived in the last decade. He died in the late 1800s. And George Mueller was a bad kid. He grew up with a wealthy, distinguished father, and he was spoiled and undisciplined and lived a bad life until he came to know the Lord. And when he did, God put upon his heart that he should help the orphans of England. At this time, he had blown all of his father's money. He had squandered it. He had squandered all of his inheritance and a lot of his family's money as well. And they wanted little to do with him. But he raised the English equivalent of over $7 million back in the 1800s to build enormous campus orphanage. And he took care of over 100,000 orphans over the years and gave them a place to live and learn the word of God and to get off to a good start. George Mueller is considered one of the greatest prayer warriors who has ever lived. He kept a diary of his prayers. He kept a diary of who he prayed for, what day he prayed for them, and what he asked for. He prayed, and when they went back and looked at his diary after he had he didn't call it a diary, he called it a ledger, after he had passed away, they found that one day he began praying for five of his friends that did not believe in Jesus Christ. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two others were converted for Christ. 25 years before the fourth man was saved, and Mueller persevered, in prayer until his death for the fifth friend. For 52 years, he logged in his prayer every day that this man would come to know God, to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. His faith was rewarded soon after Mueller's funeral. The man came to know Jesus Christ in Mueller's congregation. How many times have you heard someone say, "I don't think God hears my prayers because I have prayed for days, hours, weeks, months, and nothing has happened"? Don't tell that to Mueller. Paul prayed for people fervently that he had never met and may never meet. Many had moved or passed on by the time he ever made it to Rome. Paul prayed unceasingly. Paul prayed confidently. Paul prayed unselfishly. He prayed for people, not for his own needs, not for people who could be helpful to him, not for people who he needed to be part of his ministry. He prayed for people that he, in fact, had never met. may never meet. He prayed for them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This may not be the case with many of you, but I have family members who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I have prayed for them for years. And so I derive as much inspiration and hope and confidence as you may from the story of George Mueller, fervent prayer for 52 years for his friend. I derive a great deal of hope from seeing Paul continually praying for the people in Rome, a place that he has no knowledge that he in fact will ever go or make it there. On the way to Rome, if you read through Acts, you'll find that Paul did get to Rome in chains. He was on a ship, and the ship was, as many of you recall, the ship wrecked on an island, and the soldiers were about to kill Paul and all the prisoners so that they wouldn't escape, but the centurion demanded that they spare them and let them have a chance to swim for their lives. Paul was bitten by a serpent that was normally instantly fatal. He was beaten and attacked, but he eventually made it to Rome and was able to save many, many people there, including some of Caesar's own children and household. The reason I say this is because Mueller prayed for his five friends who did not know Jesus Christ, just as I pray for my children, for my siblings, for my cousins, who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul went in and prayed for the children of the very person who had him in chains. Paul prayed for the jailers. Paul prayed for the people who were not nice to him, the people who would do him harm. Lord, give me the strength to do that. Give us the strength. Give us the confidence. Give us the perseverance to pray for those who don't know we exist, who don't care if we exist, who are unhappy that we exist. Give us the confidence to pray for them. It's easy to pray for the ones that we love. That's the low-hanging fruit. But it's a lot harder to pray for those that seem so unlovable, that seem so untouchable, that seem hateful. God has a plan. God has preordained those who will hear him, but God has not given to you or to me any hint of knowledge of who that will be. God uses us just as he used Paul, just as he used Mueller, to bring people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he doesn't just bring the people who seem like wonderful people, and wouldn't they be a nice member of our church if they could just come and believe. He brings people who would put us in prison. He brings people who would harm us. He brings people to know Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who have done horrible things, who have done things that seem to us unforgivable, that seem to us they will never repent. They will never change. They will never be saved. Mueller was a despicable, ungrateful, selfish, destructive young man. And yet, he had many decades of serving the Lord, of saving children, of praying for his friends, of leading people to know Jesus Christ and Lord as Lord and Savior. Paul persecuted Christians. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees who led people, who encouraged them, who directed them to stone people to death, to imprison people, to have men and women thrown into prison because they believed in the way, in Christ. And God used Paul for 40 years as his minister to the Gentiles and to the Jews in the places outside of Jerusalem. Where does God plan to use your testimony? Who has God selected for you to pray for? To pray for continually. To pray for with faith that they will come to know Jesus Christ. To pray for with confidence that God will save. To pray for with the determination that the Spirit has put it upon your heart to answer His call. Don't you know that your prayer is heard by God just as much as Billy Graham's prayer is heard by God? Probably more than Bill Barnett's prayer is heard by God. Certainly as much. There is no difference. There is no hierarchy in God's family. There is no one whose prayers are heard before another. Don't you recall when the Pharisee came in and made a big production about him giving his offering and giving his prayers and thanking God that he was not like that sinner, the tax collector, back there in the back of the room? And the tax collector beat his chest and stood in the back of the room and said, "I am not worthy to step forward, but God, please forgive me." And Jesus said that it was only the taxpayers' prayers who were heard by God. Many will say, Jesus will call my name, Jesus, Jesus, but I won't hear them. So we must come to God humbly. We must come to God as His servant. We must come to God in prayer, in fear and trembling, in the presence of a king, but with the confidence that we are children of God, with the confidence that God hears our prayers, that God does care, and God has a plan, and you are part of the plan. We must come to God with faith. Jesus tells us over and over and over again how important our faith is. How strong our faith is, how unstoppable our faith is. When we pray, don't pray in doubt. Pray in faith. Pray trusting God to answer our prayers. Trusting God to know when to answer our prayers, to know how to answer our prayers. Paul prayed for these people that he had no certainty of ever meeting, of ever knowing, of ever embracing. That he had no certainty of knowing that if his words brought them to know Jesus Christ, that he would even be aware of it. But he trusted God. He knew that's what God wants him to do. And he knew that God would do it. How can we do less? How can we be less? How can we be a child of God a member of his kingdom and not do his work. There's much work that goes on in this church. People prepare, the hands come in and prepare the table for communion that we'll celebrate in a moment. Shirley was talking to me before the service and she said, you know, I don't remember when I was growing up in the church and everything, that, you know, seeing people come and do this stuff and set it up. I said, I know. I said, in the church I grew up in, there was a man who lived next door who came long before anybody else showed up and had everything. He and his wife had it all set up, and it was like, you walk in, that's just the way it is. Everything is ready for church every single Sunday. Everything is ready for church. There are hands who do that. And it's good that they do that. And they should do that. There are hands who count the collections and keep the records. There are hands who serve this church and keep the building and the grounds taken care of and shovel the snow and make the coffee and do the things that need to be done. But that's not what a church is. It's important, but it's not what a church is. A church is a body of believers in Jesus Christ. A church is a body of people who have faith in Jesus Christ. A church is a group of people who trust in Jesus Christ and are in communion with Him, not just in communion of the communion table, but are in communion with Him constantly in prayer. Trusting that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will guide them, will lead them, will give them, make them bold, and make them confident. Lift your prayers to the Lord with confidence. Lift your prayers to the Lord in humility. And lift the prayers in the Lord with faith. Amen.